All righty, this is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So I just want to circle back to a story that we talked about yesterday, but then go down a different avenue with it. So this Ian Rappaport report came out yesterday that the 49ers have been taking calls, not calling, but have been taking calls on Trey Lance. Now, we could all tell who's the source on that one. It sounds to me, Hickey, that the 49ers, someone in the 49ers organization, or since we are in a hockey mode right now, organization, reached out to Ian Rappaport and gave him that story and said, just to make it clear, just so we don't look desperate, we're not calling teams, but teams are calling us. And pretty much, I'm not saying that report is false because I do think it's true, but I think that's kind of opening the door and let it be known to other teams. You haven't called yet. Draft right around the corner. If, let's say, you only like Bryce Young and you don't like the other 3-4 quarterbacks, or you like someone that's not going to be there when you're picking, maybe you prefer Trey Lance, who was a number 3 overall pick a few years ago. And even though we're trying to give up on him right now in the 49ers, maybe our garbage will be your gold. So give us a call and see what's going to happen. But I got to imagine, I know it's sometimes difficult when you're guessing sources because, like, let's just be real. This is all I will say about this. The information that I had a few weeks ago on Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, the meetings, and whenever LaFleur would schedule these meetings to give Rodgers more input, there'd be sometimes Rodgers show up, but other time Rodgers just keep LaFleur just, you know, guessing, sitting, waiting there if he was going to come. What I will say, so many people thought that they knew who the source was, and no one was even remotely close. And all I will say on that report going back a few weeks ago and that segment that we did here and the conversation, if I sat down Rodgers, Mark Murphy, Gutekunst, and LaFleur, and I told them who the source was, which I wouldn't do because I would not do that as a talk show host, but if I told them who that source was, they would all say, oh crap, Gelb is talking to the right person. Oh crap, Gelb is talking to the person that knows everything between those four people. That's all I'll say. But so many people said, oh, it's this person, it's that person, it's this person, it's that person, and they were all wrong. So guessing sources can be a tricky game, can be a slippery slope. But Hickey, I think it's pretty obvious that someone in the 49ers organization told Ian Rappaport, hey, teams are calling us about Trey Lance. Let me just be clear. We're not the ones that are initiating the phone calls, but teams are calling us. You wanted to get out there? Go ahead, Ian Rappaport. Basically dance for us and put out that information.
Yeah, it's very easy to figure that out, especially too when you consider the only other team involved is the Vikings. And I have a very hard time, if you're the Vikings and you want this to benefit you, you calling up and saying, oh yeah, the 49ers and us talked about Trey Lance, but by the way, we just wanted to let you know, we called them. We initiated the conversation. You know, make them look good. When you say that, you're desperately trying to make yourself not look bad, and you're still trying to, like I said, put feelers out there of, hey, Trey Lance could be up for sale, also at the same time telling Trey Lance, hey, look, we're just answering the phone. Also, you know, don't shoot the messenger. We're just receiving calls. We're not actively trying to trade you.
This is just a guess. I don't know how true it is that the Niners didn't call the Minnesota Vikings. How many years have we sat here and Kyle Shanahan has either talked about it or has been linked to wanting a reunion with Kirk Cousins? Maybe it wasn't a phone call. Because didn't they say it was at the scouting combine, I think, where that conversation was?
Yes, chatter.
So maybe they're true. We're not initiating phone calls, but they may be initiating conversation at the draft when maybe John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan sees Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and also Kevin O'Connell. They're like, oh, what's your thought on Trey Lance? It's not a phone call. It's an in-person conversation. But anyway, to go down a different avenue on this, if the 49ers are content with trading Trey Lance, and we don't know if they are or they won't, but let's just say they do, are they really going to go into next season not knowing when Brock Purdy's going to come back and then also have Sam Darnold starting game one? I get it. Shanahan is this great offensive mind. Everyone slobbers over Shanahan. They love Kyle Shanahan. He's had a lot of success in this league. And I know Kyle Shanahan thinks he could win with anyone. He thought he could win with Nick Mullins. But when you've been this close for the past few years, you're really going to let this season not get to the level where you should be going because you're going to roll the dice on Brock Purdy being healthy at some point, or that all of a sudden you're going to find a way to get the best out of Sam Darnold. And even if you get the best out of Sam Darnold, what the heck is the best out of Sam Darnold at this point? So I'll just bring up two names. Aaron Rodgers said his intentions were to play for the Jets. And I know he's been recruiting players to the Jets. Alan Lazard's already there. And you saw the other day, it was Calais Campbell, who keeps on talking up the Falcons because he signed there, who said he got a text from Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers said, come to the Jets. So I would imagine that Rodgers still wants to go to the Jets, but this deal hasn't got done yet. Does maybe something change here? I don't know how they make it work from a salary cap standpoint, but Hickey, now with this Trey Lance report out there that they're willing to move on from Trey Lance, sure, you could just chalk it up and say, oh, that just furthers their belief in Brock Purdy, but does it maybe mean that they're contemplating making a late push for these two names, Aaron Rodgers, or what about Lamar Jackson? I do believe that we're a little bit closer than where we were before of Lamar having an opportunity and Lamar returning to Baltimore from where I was a month ago. But if you're the Ravens and you get rid of Lamar Jackson, what's your plan? And maybe it's not just the two first-round picks. Maybe you get a different deal done where you get picks. And I don't know, you have to wait until future years because the Niners, they still don't have their picks from the Trey Lance trade, but I do think it frees up next year. Do you maybe do future picks and Trey Lance, and then you get Lamar Jackson and then restructure his contract and give him an extension? Once again, I don't know from a salary cap standpoint how you make it work, but how many times do we sit here and we go, yeah, this team needs to get under the cap. I don't know how they're going to do so. And then a team like the Saints and Eagles always add players and find a way to get under a salary cap. Do you think there's any chance here, Hickey, that the 49ers end up kind of changing a course of action here? They get rid of Lance. They're not as all in on Brock Purdy as you would think. And they go make a serious run in this next week or two, or maybe if it's Lamar in the next few weeks, for Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because they're also in a spot now with, I mean, in one way, them being brutally honest and very transparent, especially for Trey Lance, is probably not working in his favor the best. But also in another way, it kind of allows them to do whatever the hell they want, if you really think about it. They don't care about feelings. They don't care about, you know, oh, we got to protect our quarterback, or we're going to put up this big facade that he's our guy and we don't want anyone else. They have just stomped on hearts that this is what we're going to do, whatever the hell we want to do. So there's no reason why, if you're the 49ers, that you should not be calling the Packers right now and seeing what it takes to get a deal done. Calling the Ravens, seeing what it takes to get a deal done. And you don't, like I said, with Trey Lance's name being out there, with Brock Purdy's right now status up in the air, with Sam Darnold and his track record so far of failure in the NFL, you don't owe anyone anything. And so it doesn't hurt to call and try, because what's the worst that happens? Okay, you stick with them, kind of, you're going through the mud with them anyway, compared to a lot of other teams that are afraid to get out of the mix because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
And let me be clear, I don't think it's going to happen. I do still believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to wind up with the Jets, and Lamar Jackson, right now, I would say that he's back in Baltimore for this upcoming year. But if I'm the 49ers, I would absolutely do it. I would absolutely see if we can make this work. And I threw out Lamar well over a month ago. We've talked about Rodgers before everyone has talked about Rodgers, because as great of a job as Shanahan has done, he has not won a ring. And the reason why he hasn't won a ring, even though they've been super-duper competitive and they've been a really good team, you look at Jimmy G in the Super Bowl. Yeah, for three quarters, he outplayed Mahomes. But in the fourth quarter, Mahomes came back. Jimmy G got the ball batted down at the line of scrimmage by Chris Jones and then overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. You look at other times that they've been close. NFC title game this past year, lack of health at the quarterback position doomed them. Even the year prior to that, with a lead, couldn't get the job done in the fourth quarter. So they've been able to go as close as you can to the top of the mountain without getting to the top, like basically having one hand on the top of the mountain. But as you're about to put that second hand on top of the mountain and get up there and be like Johnny Drama and scream, "Victory!" You fall flat on your face. Even if that means you're one of the last four team standings or one of the last two team standing. And to me, maybe Brock Purdy is that guy. But I can't tell you with 100% certainty that Brock Purdy, even though he played really well, is definitely that guy. And I look at Aaron Rodgers. We know he's going to Hall of Fame. We know Lamar Jackson is one of the unanimous MVP. So I think they should explore it. Now, on the other side of this, it's very weird to say that a player that has accomplished nothing in this league should request a trade. But if I'm Trey Lance, and I remember when he got drafted, CAA represented him. I don't know who represents him now. Maybe it's still CAA. But Hickey, if I'm Trey Lance, I don't see how you walk back in that 49ers locker room. Like, don't get me wrong. It may be what's best for your career because in all likelihood, probably Brock Purdy won't be ready for week one. And if you're Trey Lance, if you could go compete and you'll get an opportunity to compete with Sam Darnold to win that starting job if Brock Purdy isn't ready for week one, if you can't beat out Sam Darnold, it means two things. One, you stink. Or two, that coaching staff really just dislikes you a lot. And I don't know what Trey Lance is. Trey Lance has barely played. If you're being honest, you're not just one of those fake guys that tries to tell you, oh, they know everything about every player. Most people haven't seen Trey Lance play enough games to make an evaluation on what he is. You heard about what he did that 1 year at North Dakota State. Then COVID wiped out, other than that one game, what would have been his last year at North Dakota State. And so far in the NFL, he either has not been given the opportunity to start, or when he was given the opportunity to start, he got hurt very early. So maybe he does stink, but I can't tell you he stinks. But what I can tell you is that Kyle Shanahan has quickly soured on him and maybe wasn't ever all that much interested in taking him and was talked into taking him. Because that's been talked about. They didn't think they were taking Trey Lance when they made that move up to three. And they were talked into him. But it's been clear in the last few months, Kyle Shanahan, regardless of what he says publicly, is not a believer in Trey Lance. And if I'm Trey Lance, yes, I could see why you would think maybe staying with the 49ers, if you could beat out Sam Darnold, gives you the best chance to succeed in the NFL because of just how loaded that roster is. But I don't know if you're actually going to be given a fair shot, even if Brock Purdy can't play week one, to start because it seems like the coach is done with you. And if you're in the coach's doghouse, for whatever the reasons are, if the coach doesn't like you, it's almost as if he would be better off going somewhere else, even though the roster in San Francisco, you're not going to find many, if at all, any better rosters in the NFL.
I would not request a trade if I'm Trey Lance because he still controls his own destiny.
Does he, though?
If he plays well, he's not coming off the field.
But when is he going to be given that opportunity to play well? In what, three preseason games?
Well, through training camp, if you look at Brock Purdy's diagnosis and does not look like he's going to be ready for the start of training camp, does not look like he's going to be ready for even the start of the season. Even if he gets the first month, if Brock Purdy, October 1st, let's say he's cleared, ready to go, ready to return, Trey Lance gets a good first month.
Sure.
And he comes out hot that first month.
Sure.
I don't think Kyle Shanahan's benching him. I think, to me, Kyle Shanahan is someone who rides with a hot hand. So you still have your own destiny. If you play well, even though Brock Purdy played well last year.
But is he going to be starting?
Well, do you said if you can't beat out Sam Darnold, that's on you.
Okay.
That's on you.
No. You would think it's on you. But is it really that much of an open competition? And has Kyle Shanahan already made up his mind that if it's not Brock Purdy, it's going to be Sam Darnold? Like, that's something that I genuinely wonder because I really do believe Kyle Shanahan is operating as if he's moving on life without Trey Lance. And if that's the case, if there's a competition, Trey Lance should be able to win the competition. But if it's close, I think they're going to go Sam Darnold. And even if you do have a genuine competition, how much could actually happen in training camp the way that it's operated these days? And I'll be curious to see who actually starts the first preseason game. Would it be Trey Lance or would it be Sam Darnold? Because that would tell you everything. If they start Sam Darnold in that first preseason game, oh, it's telling you that Kyle Shanahan is really done with Trey Lance. I just don't know if he could survive and repair that relationship with his coach.
Well, let's not forget, he was a starter last year. Like, it wasn't even a competition. They went into last year, he had the job. They didn't even give Jimmy G a chance.
Yeah, because they knew Jimmy G wasn't the guy. They've said before Jimmy G wasn't the guy by moving up to go get Trey Lance. Now they believe Brock Purdy will eventually be that guy, and it's about just weathering the storm until Brock is ready, and I don't think they believe that Trey Lance could do that.
But they gave Trey Lance the job last year, and you did not see enough to say otherwise. It was an ugly game in Chicago. There was a downpour, historic rain. You could, again, shouldn't have lost that game. You could put some blame on the weather conditions as to why the offense and why Trey Lance did not look good. But it's not like he had this big body work that showed you he can't play. They trusted him last year enough to say, Jimmy G, who just got us to an NFC title game.
But they weren't intending Jimmy G to be on the roster. They weren't intending Jimmy G to be on the roster.
Because they gave the roster and they gave the team to Trey Lance because they believed in him that this is our guy.
Yeah, because they trade all those draft picks up to go get him.
Right, and the Trey Lance has done nothing so far to say he's
obviously he's
sucks.
Done something in Kyle Shanahan's mind. So, and Shanahan didn't want him originally.
There's no doubt if it's a quarterback competition, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, that they're going to favor Sam Darnold, even if Trey Lance plays well.
You best think that?
Yes. Oh,
so
100%.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not going to favor Sam Darnold.
That's not what you just said.
Not going to favor Sam Darnold. If Trey Lance plays well, beats out Sam Darnold. The best man is going to play. If you can't beat out Sam Darnold, that's on you, and I can't defend you. But if it's even, if Trey Lance, which it should not be even, but if Trey Lance is better than Sam Darnold in training camp and everything you see in the offseason, he will be the starter week one, no doubt about it.
We'll see. I can't sit here and tell you that with 100% certainty, because I think what you're missing here is the coach does not like Trey Lance anymore. And that's a big-time problem. I think Kyle Shanahan is looking at every avenue to find a way to start someone other than Trey Lance. I didn't think this. I was with you originally when this first came out that Sam Darnold, don't be surprised if Sam Darnold starting over Kyle Shanahan, I just said Trey Lance, I just said a few weeks ago, that doesn't make any sense. But the more and more and more you look at the way that Kyle Shanahan is not on board with Trey Lance, I kind of expect if Brock Purdy's not ready for week one, that it will end up at this point being Sam Darnold. And that is something that 2 weeks ago when Bonta Hill was on with us, it just didn't make sense to me. But I see now what Bonta is saying. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll teach you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, news brief time. Let's hear from Dylan Brooks, who says he's not intimidated by the great LeBron James.
People out there that say maybe you shouldn't do that with one of the better players in the game. I guess what were you thinking?
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? That's I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five.
Let's also hear Dylan Brooks continue to act like a clown and saying he embraces his role as an agitator.
He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. He should have been saying that earlier on. But, you know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40.
Well, you want to poke the bear? Get ready. Get ready for the wrath. That's all I'm going to say. Because it's not like LeBron is some schmuck. We're talking about one of the greatest players of all time, who, by the way, up against you in 11 games, is averaging 25.2 points per game, 8.4 rebounds, and 8 assists. So go ahead. Go ahead, Dylan Brooks. Do what you do. I hope your team gets embarrassed. Now, I don't think this will be the case. This is what I'm hoping. I hope the Grizzlies don't win another game. I hope they don't win another game, and LeBron, right, you go after the bull, you're going to get the horns. That's what's going to happen. And I hope LeBron just clowns the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, only Dylan Brooks, after what is such a good night for the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant, I know they've had some success without Ja Morant, you win, and then you make the story all about yourself with your just jackassery when talking about the great LeBron James.
That's who he is. He's Draymond Green Jr., basically.
He's a Walmart version of Draymond Green.
Wannabe Draymond, but that's what you got. You got to talk the talk now, like you said, about walk the walk for game number three.
And don't get me wrong, because I've been critical a lot of Draymond recently. At least Draymond has actually accomplished some things in this league. He has won championships. He's been a big part of a championship team. The Grizzlies are now talking about that team that all they do is talk. Just because you got a second seed, now you got to have some success in the playoffs. And I don't think this team is going to a conference final or even an NBA finals this upcoming year. I think this is a team that they've been biting off more than what they could actually chew. And would you agree they've become obnoxious? They've become insufferable? What was it on that Athletic poll yesterday that they asked 108 players? What was the answer? Most hated player in the league? And someone was like, oh, can I just write the team as the Memphis Grizzlies?
Most overrated.
Oh,
overrated. Player.
Same.
And one player had a write-in, the Grizzlies.
Good. Can we find out who that player is? And let's get him on the show. And let's just bow down to that player for 10 to 15 minutes on the air. We will genuflect to that player live on the radio for 10 to 15 minutes. We don't know who that player is, right?
Also, I don't think that would be good radio if you're just going to be on one knee for 10 minutes straight.
Oh, like, give me the player you think it is. If you want to take a guess, just throw out some random player.
Let's just say it's Draymond Green himself, because the Grizzlies and Warriors hate
really
each other.
You really have to do that?
Well, they hate each other. Let's say it's Steph Curry.
Okay. Nah, you don't make it Draymond. Draymond loved the stomp. The stomp was great. Let's stomp out the Memphis Grizzlies. Once again, just a reminder, the Zach Gelb Show does not allow or agree with the stomp of Draymond Green on Zabonis. We're not a fan of that. We do not approve of that. Anyway, we'll keep it moving here. It's LeBron James saying the world isn't ending after one loss in the playoffs.
I don't need to be a discussion. I mean, at the end of the day, we understand what a series is all about. I mean, you know, it's not the first of one win or two. It's the first of four. And you got to prepare each and every game. Every game is its own entity. So you got to prepare for that challenge. And you know, I feel like we was prepared tonight. We just didn't execute as well as we did in game one for close to 48 minutes. So they made adjustments. We made some adjustments. And, you know, you tip your hat to them. They played a well of a game tonight.
So I'm not shocked that the Grizzlies won without Ja Morant. 2 years ago, they had a great record without Ja Morant. They were still above 500 this year without Ja Morant as well. But not that it was shocking last night that the Bucks won up against the Heat. But Hickey, what I was surprised about, the Heat that have a veteran team, that have playoff experience, I was surprised how flat Miami was last night. It was almost as if they didn't realize the opportunity was there to take a commanding 2-0 series lead in this matchup, in a 1-8 matchup, because you don't have Giannis Antetokounmpo. You took it to the Bucks in game one, and it almost looked like the Heat didn't get the memo that Giannis wasn't going to play, and it was, oh, they were already back in Miami getting ready for game three, since they already took care of business and won one of these games.
And how about a team prided on their defense that is supposed to be all about stopping you first, allow 138 points to a Giannis-less Bucks team? Pathetic.
Say that 10 times
Giannis-less.
Fast.
I will say that just once.
Here's Jimmy Butler agreeing with Hickey, saying their defense was terrible.
They made shots, whether it be at the rim, in the paint. They made a lot of threes, and that's the game. But we knew that had a possibility of happening. You know, you got to run them off the line. You got to make them miss. Can't hope that they miss.
Let's go to Mike Budenholzer. Remember when we played that game? Was this Mike Budenholzer after a win or a loss? Now, we know this is after a win, but he always sounds miserable. I've not heard this yet, so I'll preface it by saying that. But this is Mike Budenholzer saying the team competed well without Giannis, or as Hickey would like to say, Giannis-less Bucks team. Go ahead.
We just want to go compete and play. And we got to do the same thing again going into game three. It's a competitive group. It's a high character group. Now we got to go on the road and have what we had tonight, have an edge, play with force, compete, you know, no matter who plays.
Hickey, that's about as elated as you're going to get from Mike Budenholzer.
If you didn't listen to the words that kind of gave away that they won with how he was talking about it, you would have thought they lost.
100%.
No one is ever that monotone, not only after a win, but after a win again when the best player on your team didn't play. And you needed to have it.
Let's go to Jamal Murray. I think this is the best story so far in this NBA postseason, what we saw last night. Because not that people forget, but a few years ago, the Nuggets were rolling. They made all those moves. I'm starting to think that they could go win a championship. And the next thing you know, you have Jamal Murray up against the Warriors, tears ACL. Murray last night, second round up against the Timberwolves, goes for 40 points in the contest and was 13 of 22 from the field and 6 of 10 from three. Jamal Murray says it was tremendous to be back playing at an elite level in the postseason.
A lot of fun being in that zone, feeling the energy that I haven't felt in a long time, feeling the adrenaline, handling the adrenaline. I knew I was going to have a rough first game or a rough start, just, you know, because emotions are flowing and you won't play so well. But even just coming into this game, I just felt more relaxed and felt more composed. And, you know, I wasn't as hyped as the first game. So, like I said, I just played my game all the way through and like I said, glad to get a dub.
Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, says Jamal Murray was tremendous.
He, like, left a piece of him out there tonight. You know, he was just, for 39 minutes, I thought he was just so impactful across the board. Passionate, heartfelt performance. And just the fact that he missed the last two postseasons, you know, just to have him back and to play at that level.
And that game looked like the Nuggets were going to blow them out, and then the Timberwolves come storming back, and you're like, uh-oh, Minnesota's going to win. And then Denver just takes a commanding 2-0 series lead, and you could basically say that this series is over. But Hickey, I know we were talking about the Nuggets heading into the playoffs, and it was concerning because their own coach called them out for their lack of toughness and how they were playing soft. To see the effort, I know it's up against Minnesota, but to see what Jamal Murray did last night, we've talked about this all the time with guys like Nikola Jokic and guys like Joel Embiid. They need their complementary pieces. They need their second guy to be their closer late in those games. We know the Sixers don't have that with James Harden, but last night, kind of Jamal Murray waved to everyone and reminded everyone that he's still here. And not only is he still here, he's now back. And that means that that team could win a championship or get to the NBA Finals.
Absolutely. I was more impressed last night with that win than even game one when they blew him out by 30. Just because, like I said, when you are up that big and you lose the lead, it's easy to kind of crumble. And as soon as they lost it, it wasn't just, oh, they got it back and won. They stepped on the gas right away and just pulled away again from the Wolves.
Also, we alerted the authorities. We have a search party out there for Karl Anthony Towns. Has anyone found him? Because he was brutal last night. 3 of 12 from the field. He hit 2 3-pointers and only had 10 points in the game. Man, he was irrelevant on that basketball court, and he was MIA. Let's listen up to the coach of the Timberwolves, Chris Finch, on how they have to get Karl Anthony Towns to be more productive.
Maybe just simplify things a bit, you know, catch, shoot, catch and drive. You know, they're all over him out there. He's got to probably play a little quicker, you know, to draw the fouls. They're definitely fouling him. They're holding him every single time. They're wrestling him off his spot.
That's a huge disappointment. Not that anyone went into this series thinking that the Timberwolves were going to win, but the Timberwolves have been a disappointing team this year. And to see just this horrible effort from Cat last night, it's weird to call him overrated because his numbers are usually really good, but he is a player that you want a little bit more out of him. And with what he was supposed to be coming out of college, not that he's had a bad career by any stretch, he averages 23 points per game and 11.2 rebounds, but I don't think those stats truly tell the entire story, and you feel like there's a different level to him. And there's always a few moments, Hickey, where he comes out like last night in a big moment and just doesn't show up for the occasion.
He's turning very quickly into James Harden. He can put up some big numbers in the regular season. He can, you know, get the team to the playoffs. But as soon as that big playoff moment or game is there, you need your star to be at their best or either shut down someone else or play better than him. Shrinks. Absolutely shrinks. And it's happened last year. It's happening this year again. It's not good at all.
Let's go to Tommy Brady. He was asked at the Emerge Americas conference about playing for the Dolphins.
Spending a lot of time in Miami, now you call it home. By chance, is there any chance that you're coming out of retirement and playing for the Fins?
Oh, man. I know, honestly.
I'm just saying, you gotta...
Well, I will say, now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like, so I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami.
And that video was courtesy of Brendan Kaminsky, actually. He recorded that at that conference. Brendan Kaminsky is actually a brother of one of my fraternity brothers, Wes Kaminsky, who's like a big social media guru for FS1, and Brendan Kaminsky was at ESPN. Now he has his own PR firm, but he was there at that conference, and I saw that was going viral today, and I keep on seeing that it was courtesy of my pal Brendan Kaminsky, who, by the way, you want to hear a story about Brendan Kaminsky? We once got tickets to the Super Bowl. Now, Brendan and his father had tickets to the Super Bowl as well, but Brendan's brother Wes and I got tickets and we were going together. Now, with my tickets, we got a complimentary parking pass. This is when the Super Bowl was in New York. I gave the tickets and the parking pass to Brendan to give to his brother Wes. They did not lose the tickets, but Hickey, Brendan Kaminsky lost the parking pass. So last second, we all had to train to the Super Bowl, which wasn't a problem getting there, but on the way back, absolute mess. To get back to New York City via train should not take long. It ended up taking 3 hours because the trains were that backed up and the lines were so long because they were encouraging public transportation when I handed him a parking pass. So Brendan Kaminsky could get a big viral video, but he could also lose a parking pass. Still, one of the creme de la creme PR people that are out there. Now, the bigger side of this, Tom Brady, that wasn't a no. And I think Tom Brady could be convinced to returning to the NFL maybe midseason. We'll see if that happens, or maybe even before the start of the season. All righty, that is a News Brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take your phone calls next, 855-212-4CBS. Also, on the other side, I got to get into some comments made by Nick Sirianni about his quarterback that just got paid in Jalen Hurts. But first up, a man that I learned does not have a lot of confidence in me, and that is Rich Ackerman. Ack, I'm very disappointed in you.
And why is that?
Well, because you come into the studio here, you're getting ready to diligently preparing for your update.
Yeah.
And you walk right over to the TV not thinking I would have the Ranger game on that starts in about a few minutes.
It's not unprecedented.
What do you mean?
There have been times the Ranger game has not been on.
Yes. Other sports, not the Rangers.
Yes. No.
You are, what are you, hanging out with Fox? Fake news? I'm going to sue you.
No.
Liar.
There was one night you said, hey, where's the Ranger game tonight?
And one night.
Actually, there was another night where I put on the game.
Liar.
So that's two.
Liar.
That's two.
Liar. Well, I have a lot of responsibilities here hosting a national radio show.
You're going to doubt my memory?
But there, with the playoffs?
I'm just making sure.
Ack walks right over to the TV with a pen in his hand.
I just want to make sure.
And he goes to click the up on the channel, and he looks right at me, and he's like, oh, you had it on. Of course I'm going to have it on.
Just making sure. That's all.
You know, I thought, Ack, you thought better of me and higher of me.
Hey, does Bill Belichick leave any stone unturned before the Super Bowl?
No. You gotta look at me like I'm your Tom Brady here. Have a little trust, all right, Ack?
You know.
Come on.
Trust is earned.
I haven't earned your trust. What?
You're getting there. That's what that says.
You know
you're
what?
Getting there, but not 100%.
I am now insulted. I am offended.
Hickey, yes. You know.
Why, you trust Hickey?
I'm all in on Hickey tonight.
He's the least trustworthy person here.
No. Hickey's all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Tonight
gracious.
He's all right. Tomorrow night we go back.
Folks, I am getting ambushed on my own radio show by Ack and Hickey. This is not good.
We've been plotting.
This is not good. The executive branch is going to start... Going to start levying out some punishments to both of you.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. This Nets Sixers series has, for the most part, just been a bore as the Sixers have been the better team. In game number two, Six had to come back, but we all know the Sixers are going to win this series. We're only a few minutes into this game. The Nets are up 19-11, but Hickey... We got some theatrics here that are very much in the news because of what Draymond Green did, stomping on the chest of Sabonis. Well, Draymond Green may have some company because Joel Embiid, as Nick Claxton was stepping over Embiid after making a bucket, Embiid kicks Claxton when he was on the ground. Now, Embiid was on the ground. He's underneath Claxton. Claxton steps over him, and he kicks him. And even Sixers media, I'm reading a few reporters, Kyle Newbeck, who covers the Sixers and does a really good job. He's saying the Sixers are lucky that Embiid only got a flagrant one. Now, I'm just going to assume here, Hickey, because past history was used in the Draymond Green report, and that's why Draymond Green got suspended. I don't expect Joel Embiid to get suspended, but what a dumb move by Joel Embiid when... You're not trying to give the Nets any life. And even if you do give the Nets any life, they're not going to win the series either way. And it's not a poke the bear situation because the Sixers are that much better. But you look at this type of thing, it's like you just got to get through this series. And you shouldn't let someone get under your skin when you're that much better than him and you're going to be the MVP of the league. And the Nets, and this is coming from someone that grew up as a Nets fan, are basically like irrelevant now without Durant and without Kyrie. And we know James Harden is on the Sixers. They have no shot of beating the Sixers four times in this series. For Embiid to do this and bring this attention upon him, it's really idiotic by Joel Embiid.
Idiotic, absolutely. It's, you know, the one thing you could not afford to do. Now, even if it was a Draymond situation where he was ejected and suspended for the next game, I still don't think the Sixers are going to lose this series. But that is the one thing that, or the one area the Nets are going to try to expose and get to go in their favor as to what could turn the series. And Embiid took the bait. You cannot kick someone in the you-know-whats when he's walking over you. And he's very lucky he did not get ejected. It's very similar to what we saw two nights ago. Now, the stomp by Draymond was much more egregious than Embiid lifting up one leg to kick Nick Claxton in between the legs. But it's still very similar where he should have been ejected. And if you're ejected, now again, like you said, it was more about past history for Draymond as to why he was suspended for game number three tonight. Probably is my guess he would not have been suspended for game four if Embiid was ejected tonight, but very lucky to still be in this game.
Now,
very lucky.
It looks like he hits Claxton's inner thigh, but just wondering, because I would assume the intent there was to kick him in the jewels. Would you rather get kicked in the jewels by Joel Embiid or stomped on your chest by Draymond Green? If you had to pick the lesser of two evils. Both
kicked
suck.
In the jewels by Embiid, because I think it's less embarrassing than getting stomped on an NBA court by a player.
I think it's still getting kicked in the jewels, not because it's less embarrassing, but like, you get kicked in the jewels, it hurts, don't get me wrong. They go up into like your stomach pretty much, that feeling, and then you're fine 30 seconds later. If you get stomped on hard enough on your chest, like, you're in danger of having something really go wrong, like something get bruised or something break, and then just trying to breathe is just such a bitch.
Well, Sabonis had to have MRIs after the game.
Yeah.
Bruce Sternum.
Yeah, you just won. How did those MRIs come on back? Did we ever get those reports?
I think it was clean. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those things that just get. I'm not saying that it wasn't a legit injury. It definitely could have been, but I wonder how much of it was trying to play it up a little bit more than what actually happened.
I do think he was hurting. He again, maybe it was acting, and again, fooled me, but he looked to be in legitimate pain rolling on the ground, which, again, I think is a little bit more embarrassing when a grown man is stomping on your chest compared to getting kicked in the gonads, we'll say. But
the
yes.
Jewels, come on.
Jewels, gonads.
The cojones.
It's all good. Cojones. So,
or as Ross
say,
Tucker would say, the cajones.
Cajones. Getting kicked in the cajones. It stinks. It is terrible, but it is short-lived.
Let's go to Jay in Alabama, who I hear kicks people in the jewels if you don't take his cannolis that he picks up each and every day at the local supermarket. Jay, what's happening?
That would be the cojones, not the jewels. But, I mean, bad enunciation. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I'd rather get stomped in the chest because, I mean, come on. I don't know. You can get. I mean, that didn't look like a real hard stomp. But the whole thing is, like, getting kicked in the jewels, man. Like, that, golly, depending on how hard you get kicked, might have to go sit down for a little bit. Like, you know, get
you may be on the IL. You may need some ice. Instead of getting the cannoli from the supermarket, you may need to pick up a bag of ice.
Hey, just to use a good fella's term, they just might break your balls, all right? But for real.
So what do you got for us, Jay?
I'm with y'all on the whole, on a couple things. As far as, okay, Memphis, tired of Memphis. And I've even said that, like, I thought they was fool's gold before all this hype got around them. And now you see they're a little bit in trouble with the Lakers. But at the same time, kind of tired of the Lakers, too. I mean, I'm a Lakers fan, but the way the Lakers are being ran, it's almost starting to remind me of Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, man. It's like all entertainment, all marketing, and no true competition, which I don't like that.
But there's one major difference. Recently, the Lakers have won a championship. Jerry Jones hasn't been close to competing for a championship in a long time.
Yeah, I know. They won a COVID championship, but
still a
championship. I know. That's neither here nor there. But as far as the whole Golden State and Sacramento thing, even though they're in Golden State, I hope all the Sacramento fans show up more cowbells. Oh, well, I hope somebody dresses up as Will Ferrell, get behind. I mean, I hope Adam Silver's sitting in the crowd and they just get behind Adam Silver with the cowbells and just cowbell him to death. And, like, as far as Draymond and as far as – I'm tired of the Warriors. And, like, I'm tired of, like, seeing – I mean, NBA is kind of, like, getting to the point where it's, like, all antics, no accountability. And I'm kind of, like, tired of that. And it's kind of, like, making this whole playoffs, like, lackluster because everybody got antics. You know what I mean? Everybody got this thing they're doing and it's somebody else's fault.
Well, Jay, I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run because I'm up against a break. But, yeah, for this game upcoming, I saw that they were taking away the cowbells, and they weren't going to let the cowbells in. If you're a Kings fan, you're going to have to check it, like as if it's a coat check or a bag check. If you were going into a restaurant or an event and something wasn't allowed, I hope the cowbells get in the building tonight, Hickey. I hope the cowbells get in the building and we hear from the Kings fans tonight, even though I think the Warriors are going to win the game.
Security better be on top. Get those pat-downs, you know, secure.
Yeah, what happens if you get your cowbell in? You think they're going to come down to your seat and say,
oh,
either take it from you, you get ejected?
Definitely.
Oh, what?
No, probably not ejected. They'll take the cowbells well, without a doubt.
Soft. Let me tell you. Soft. You can't bring in the cowbells. Give me a break. Coming on back, you'll hear from Nick Sirianni next.